Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at solicitation of Japan, still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking for...
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and that's President Franklin Delano Roosevelt declaring war on Japan after the December 7th bombing of Pearl Harbor, the American naval base in Honolulu, that of course occurred yesterday was December 7th, but on December 7th, 1941. It was the Day of Infamy speech that he delivered before the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives on the 8th of December in 1941. And of course, both houses approved his declaration of war. As we talked about in a previous day in history, it was interesting that there are a lot of still questions about that, what happened that day. And there was a report that was unearthed from the late 30s and early 1940, where a group of generals and others in intelligence said, we need to have this strategy to force Japan into a war. President Roosevelt claims he never saw that report, and that was never part of any strategy he had. But that's what was in that report is exactly what happened, and the war was declared, and there was war with Japan. And on the same day, Japan attacked six countries at the same time all throughout Southeast Asia. And that begins this day in history. And let's talk about a couple of quick events here in day in history before we jump into our conversation. One of them has to do, this is a day in 1863, Abraham Lincoln announced his plan for Reconstruction in the South. It's interesting, some of the history we've been reading lately, that Abraham Lincoln was really vilified by a lot of what we would call the left in those days as not going far enough by abolitionists and freed people. And on this day, on the 6th of December, 1865, is when the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution was adopted, which officially abolished and continues to prohibit slavery and involuntary servitude except as punishment for a crime on this day. And so on this day, you know, if many of us see this beautiful picture of the Earth, this blue ball, a very famous picture. Well, it was on this day in 1972 that Apollo 17, the last Apollo moon expedition, was launched, and the crew took that photograph of the Earth. That is one that many of us look at to think about how blue and gorgeous and small our sphere really is. So two other quick things here. They both happened in 1976. They both had to do with our journalism history. They both affected two different people. On this day in 1976, the T. Thomas Fortune House in Red Bank, New Jersey, was designated a National Historic Landmark, as was the Mary Ann Shad Carey House in Washington, D.C., on the same day in 76. I'm not sure why the juxtaposition of the same days, but here the stories very quickly. This was the home, the first one in Jersey was the home of Timothy Thomas Fortune, who was born enslaved in 1856 in Marianna, Florida, on October the 3rd. And after he was freed, he taught himself to read and write. Went to Howard University to get degrees in law and journalism, founded the People's Advocate, which was a D.C. newspaper, sold that paper, moved to New York City, and founded another paper 4 years later called the New York Age, which became the largest African-American journal of news opinion in the country. And he sold that later and continued his work. He is the person who coined the term Afro-American. He said that we are African in origin and American in birth. Term should be used in America, Afro-American. And later, in 1923, he became the editor of the Negro World, which over 200,000 copies were published. Of course, that is the journal of Marcus Garvey's Universal Negro Improvement Association. And he was a really interesting character in our history and one of the leading minds of journalism in the 19th and 20th century. And Mary Ann Shad Carey was also a leading mind in journalism. She fled the United States to Canada when they passed the law, the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, and she went to move to Windsor, Ontario, where she founded the first racially integrated school in Canada, and founded the Provincial Freeman newspaper, which was read across the globe, that promoted the end of abolition, obviously, and many other things. It was read across the globe, she moved to D.C. later on, before the Civil War started, and helped during the Civil War organizing troops and working with troops in the Civil War, and published The Voice from Harper's Ferry, which is a tribute to John Brown and was widely read. So these two houses were dedicated on this day. So let me end with this so we can jump into our conversation and just say there are many incredible birthdays happening on this day that we want to remember. One of them is Reginald F. Lewis, who was born on this day on December 7th, who, of course, the Reginald F. Lewis Museum is named after, who wrote his autobiography, Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? How Reginald Lewis Created a Billion-Dollar Business. And that is this day in history. There's so much more of this day in history, but we'll leave that to the next time we do this day in history, and to you going to steinershow.org to read the rest of this day in history. We'll be right back with our guests. Don't go away. And as we go to break, we're hearing Mr. Bojangles by the great Sammy Davis Jr., who today is the anniversary of the birth of this great singer, tap dancer, entertainment phenom, musician, Samuel George Davis Jr., born on this day in Harlem, New York, began his career as a 3-year-old in vaudeville. So happy birthday to the late Sammy Davis Jr. We'll be right back. He would do the old soft shoe.